you know, the ICANN staff and board and community is very interested in what everybody here has to say. And with everyone's comments, the time of the participants here and you as attendees is very valuable, I know, and is sincerely appreciated. And so your comments will certainly be heeded. And so I've got a couple. I just want to, before I go into a few slides, before we listen to this first set of solutions presented by the IRT, I just want to take care of a couple housekeeping things. The session's being recorded, so there'll be an MP3 version of it available after the session. We've handed out feedback forms and forms for asking questions so that those that don't want to participate at the microphone have other modes of participating in the process. There's remote participation, so through Adobe Acrobat, I think, those outside this room can watch to a fairly good extent what's going on here, and certainly listen and comment in a little chat room and ask questions. And Carla will come to the mic as part of this and bring in questions from the outside. So I think I fairly well covered the opportunity for participation outside of coming to the microphone. Please look at your packs and use them as an avenue for participation. You know, we're going to get a chance to thank all the participants here later on, but to start, I want to thank Carla Valente and Katie LaFramboise, who not only know all the technical stuff that's going on here, but are running the whole show too, so they know twice as much as the rest of us. So I'd like to thank them. I have a brief few slides I'd like to take through. I'll try not to be repetitive with what I said before. With the imminent introduction of new GTLDs, ICANN is holding a series of discussions particularly focused on a couple very important issues, protection for trademark holders and also prevention and mitigation of malicious conduct in the DNS. As we multiply the number of TLDs, we don't want to multiply instances of malicious conduct. And in fact, it would be good to divide them by some whole number. And so these meetings are intended to discuss the merit of various solutions that have been proposed or develop new solutions. And like I said before, ICANN, all of us here, have been talking about this a long time. Every agreement just about that ICANN has had with the U.S. government, our Memorandum of Understanding and Joint Project Agreement, states that one of ICANN's mission is to define and implement a strategy for the introduction of new GTLDs. And in its mission statement embedded in its bylaws, it states that fostering choice and competition is one of the key objectives for ICANN, its reason for being. The white paper that foretold the founding of ICANN or laid the foundation for the formation of ICANN in 1998 said we should oversee a policy development for determining how new TLDs would be introduced. So there's a lot of work done. Many of you know there's been two trial rounds introduction of new TLDs, one in 2000 that introduced seven, another in 2003 and four that introduced another six or seven. And after that, ICANN undertook a very intensive policy development process that went nearly 2 years that was intended to answer four major questions. You know, should new top-level domains be introduced, new generic top-level domains be introduced? If so, what would be the criteria? By what criteria would they be introduced? How would they be allocated? And if they were allocated, then under what terms would they be released? What would the contractual terms be? And in September of some year, not too long ago, the GNSO released those 19 policy recommendations that answered those questions. And those policy recommendations, after some study by the board to ensure those recommendations were implementable in a reasonable fashion, approved those recommendations. So there's some general principles under which new TLDs would be introduced that should guide us. There's more of these that are embedded in the policy recommendations and statements about how the implementation of that policy is going to take place. But certainly care and conservatism is an overarching concern that we want to go through this process and introduce TLDs in a timely fashion, but paramount is the protection of registrants, the stability and security of the DNS, resiliency, and those sorts of things. And that is why, while we are marching towards this implementation of new TLDs and in alacrative style, we want to take the right amount of time to have discussions such as this that are very important to informing what form the implementation should take. Another less vital, but certainly needed to be understood principle is that the application process and the evaluation process, this whole thing should be cost neutral to ICANN. ICANN's a not-for-profit organization. There's evaluation fees that ICANN will receive in order to process applications, all intended to be cash neutral, and certainly will be in the longer term as we balance out uncertainties and how the cash would flow. The process seeks to establish a timely and clear roadmap for those wishing to apply. So almost everybody here knows of the applicant guidebook. It's the instruction manual for how to apply for new GTLDs. It's a proposal, but it's meant to be as clear as possible as to what form the final implementation would take. These discussions then affect what, you know, the content of that applicant guidebook, but the guidebook seeks to be as clear and predictable as possible. And also, the process recognizes that while the evaluation process needs to be very straightforward, there will be edge cases, there will be strings or applications that are objectionable, there will be strings where multiple applicants apply for the same one. And so those instances need to be accommodated in the applicant guidebook and the process. So while the process seems to be simple and straightforward, it also needs to be robust and accommodate these cases where, if you can imagine one, there would be a string that might incite malicious behavior, or what we're talking about partly here today, a TLD string that might infringe somebody's rights. How can that be handled and addressed in the process? Or if somebody misappropriates a community label. So processes need to be built into the guidebook in order to accommodate these cases, which is why I see the process becoming fuller and more robust. So this is I'm only going to show this for a second, but kind of ties the applicant guidebook to the application process. So if you want to read it again, or you haven't read it yet, the guidebook, the direction manual, is broken into modules that mirror the process. So the applicant is evaluated initially to ensure they have the technical and financial wherewithal to operate a registry, that the string isn't going to break the DNS, that the string isn't so similar to another application or another string that user confusion would result. So these evaluations take place in this initial evaluation, which is defined in Module 2 of the guidebook. It's then thought that a majority of these applications will go on to delegation. But as I said earlier, there's paths for applications where bona fide parties with standing to object lodge a formal objection on certain limited grounds. And so there needs to be an objection process. That objection is handled through an independent dispute resolution process. So the process takes the objector and the applicant and takes them off to the side and has their issues heard by an independent dispute resolution provider, who will then come back into the ICANN process with a decision. So it seeks to make that dispute between the applicant and the objector, and not between the applicant and ICANN and the objector. There's also an accommodation. If an applicant does not pass the initial evaluation, there's an extended evaluation. A big reason for being in the evaluation is not just to test the application, but it's also meant to provide a guide to applicants about what's required to run a registry, what's required technically, what aspects technically are required to run a registry competently, and then ask the applicant to think about knowing what it takes to run a registry, then, you know, how much does it cost to run it and how am I going to get that money? So cases where the applicant doesn't pass the criteria in the first instance, you know, there'll be another opportunity for evaluation. So the guidebook and the process are meant to help applicants as much as test them. And finally, there's another module about string contention. So there's two applications for identical TLD strings. How is that handled? How is that contention resolved? And that's another set of processes that are addressed in the guidebook. So those separate processes are all addressed in separate modules. If you read the guidebook, it's a little bit thick. The thinking is that modules 2, 3, and 4 really, or modules 3, 4, and 5, there's a typo there, come into play But the extended valuation and the objection process and the comparative evaluation come into play rather rarely, and really the focus is on the initial evaluation. So this is sort of repetitive, so I'm not going to read it all, but it's in the pack, and the pack will be posted if it hasn't been already. You can read that, but it kind of identifies the modules with the modules with the process and provides a map there. So where are we in this process? Well, ICANN's published two versions of the applicant guidebook, and most of you are familiar with the ICANN process, but the guidebook is a proposal, right? It's for a community comment. And through this two sets of publications of the guidebook, we've received about 500 comments and written about 360 pages of comment analysis in response to the comment. And if you were to look at a red line between the guidebook when first posted and the guidebook now, you'd see a considerable amount of red ink and red line. And that's, you know, most of us are familiar with it, but that's the ICANN process, right? It's sort of like this damped harmonic oscillator where ICANN takes public input, posts a document for comment. There's a lot of comment. The document's adjusted. There's a little less comment. And through iterations of that process, we arrive at sort of a steady state document. And so this comment and process and adjustment is really the ICANN process at work. It's working, I think, really well. There's been a lot of really thoughtful effort put into responding to the guidebook and a lot of changes made based on that comment. So thanks for that. And so I just want to talk a little bit about what kind of comments there are. There's three bullets here, but there's really two kinds of comments. One is the comment that's handled in the traditional ICANN way, which I just described. So ICANN posts a document, there's lots of comments, we sit around the table, scratch our heads, do some balancing, adjust the guidebook, write a memo to everybody saying, here's the balancing we did, here's why we came out this way, post it back up. So that's the traditional way, but also in this process, there were some higher level or overarching questions asked about the new GTLD process. And that's what we're really talking about here today. These are questions that are not to be resolved by ICANN staff sitting around a table in Marina Del Rey or Brussels or Sydney or somewhere else, reading the comment and doing some balancing, but really were of a complexity that required additional community consultation. So, you know, what you see before you, a bunch of people that are slowly getting more angry with me for taking so much time, is this group of experts that the board asked to get together in order to develop solutions for trademark issues, which are universally recognized as complex and require a lot of discussion. So this is an example of one of these four overarching issues that have been identified for additional discussion. So this slide here demonstrates how the first set of issues is identified and handled, and I won't spend much time, but the far left is the guidebook as it exists now. You see module 5 is one of the 5 modules. That is the registry agreement. There is a public comment period for 45 days. The comments were parsed into 12 supercategories and 50 or 60 subcategories. So the registry agreement was a category and there was 12 subcategories for that. And then we took the issues associated with one of those, combined them all, you know, did analysis on that one and wrote in the guidebook. So that's a sort of a sub map for how the typical comments were handled. But more importantly, for today's work, the overarching issues are these, particularly, and the lion's share of today will be spent on trademark issues and how can the new GTLD program be implemented in a way that addresses concerns of trademark holders. And TLDs are top-level domains, and so we need to address protections at the top level, but even more importantly, address protections at the second level and concerns about the need for defensive registration or abuse at the second level, so it's very important. Another question that's going to be discussed today after the trademark discussion is how can ICANN ensure that instances of malicious conduct won't be multiplied because we're multiplying the number of TLDs. I think altering the architecture of the DNS somewhat through the introduction of new TLDs actually affords us an opportunity to prevent and mitigate instances of malicious conduct. There's a lot of it now, and I think that there's ways of going forward and building this so actually the DNS becomes a more friendly place. Other issues that were raised that we realized took longer to analyze and require more community input than others were addressing marketplace issues, and ICANN as a step has undertaken some economic studies to identify issues in the marketplace, the benefits and the potential costs for introducing new TLDs. And then finally, what's the impact of the introduction of new TLDs on the root zone? Now, that's been discussed quite a lot for years, but where are we right now in the domain name system? We're implementing new top-level domains, internationalized domain names, IPv6 and DNSSEC, almost coincidentally. And so, what are the effects of that multiple introduction now? So that's another study that's going to be taken. We're going to touch on all these issues today in this forum. Like I said, it's not for ICANN staff to resolve these issues, and very typically we ask the very best experts that can be found, and you'll see today that, you know, we did darn good here. For trademark issues, the board asked for the formation of the IRT, asked the intellectual property constituency to form a group of experts to suggest solutions, and they've done that. They've gone off, worked very, very hard over a period of a couple months. And they'll give you stats about the thousands of emails and, I don't want to talk about it. It boggles the mind. But going off and generated solutions, and now these solutions are here for discussion to be tested a little bit with the expertise of everybody in the room. Others that have suggested solutions are WIPO, who will give a presentation today. Demand Media has done a lot of work in developing solutions that and discussed implementation issues and how to implement these solutions, so they'll be here. In root zone scaling, the ESAC and the board commissioned a study, asked the ESAC and RSAC, ICANN's technical advisory committees, to understand and undertake a study of the effects of all this introduction onto the root zone. They've commissioned another group, and we'll be talking about progress there. With malicious conduct, ICANN's engaged with the Anti-Phishing Working Group, the GTLD Registry Internet Safety Group, right? Group of GTLD registry operators that meet to work towards internet safety. First, a group of first responders and other groups that you'll hear about. And in understanding the marketplace, CRA, Charles River Associates, and Compass Lexicon have both been engaged to study those issues. So, through these groups, then, we reach out to the rest of the community to have this sort of discussion. So why are we having this discussion? Why are trademark issues ripe for discussion? And why do we bring this up as part of the implementation? And why was the IRT formed? Well, first, there's a policy recommendation that says new GTLD strings should not infringe on the rights of others. And bolstering that, there have been economic studies. And the economic studies say there's benefits with new GTLDs and costs. Some of those costs are costs realized by trademark holders. And the economic study says that the introduction should first take steps to mitigate those costs or reduce those costs to implement rights protection mechanisms. So that's why we're talking about this here today. That's why it's an issue for us. I want to point out that this discussion, of course, is not new. The DNS is here, right? There's several trademark issues already in place that are being used either regularly or on an ad hoc basis. So rapid takedown occurs now in discussions between registries and registrars. Or sometimes it involves ICANN, sometimes the registry acts on its own. But rapid takedown is something that already exists in the marketplace. There are already online trademark registries that exist in different jurisdictions that register where trademark holders can go register their name. Sunrise periods clearly already exist in startup of new GTLDs and CCTLDs. And so the IRT and other groups have thought of that those solutions that are either implemented elsewhere or used on an ad hoc basis in there as sort of the input to their work. So a lot of the work is refinement and improvement and regularization. That's the best word I can come up with here into that. Malicious conduct. I think I've spoken about this already, but the discussion, so after the IRT discussion finishes early this afternoon, I'll have a malicious conduct session that will raise issues that instances where malicious conduct may multiply and how that might be mitigated. So far in this discussion in malicious conduct, we've had many participating groups. I described some of them already. BITS is a banking and finance group, part of the financial services roundtable. My CERT is up there too, as other groups that have participated in this. In the root zone scaling, we're going to provide a status report near the end of the day on where that stands, and the root zone scaling study studies these issues that I discussed earlier. And finally, the marketplace. So under economic studies have been undertaken, they indicate that there's costs associated with the introduction of new TLDs, and that the big ICANN should act to mitigate those costs, having to do with potential trademark infringement or multiplication of malicious conduct. You can see how these issues all sort of interweave, that the economic studies raise some of the same issues that were raised in the public comment. And then the economic study, and we'll talk more about the economic study right at the end of the day, also identified benefits associated with new TLDs, that there could be more community representation, that IDNs would allow communication, regional communication in one's own language, that there'd be increased competition and benefits emanating from that. So here's kind of the order of battle. The first part of the session will be about a presentation of trademark solutions. We'll hear from the IRT first, who will present the results of their study and findings and their proposals. We'll then hear the proposals from WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization. Yunju is presenting on their behalf. Then we'll hear from Demand Media and their take on solutions. Richard Tindall is presenting on their behalf. At that point, we'll stop and take questions. So the questions are intended to be about the merits of the solution, which solutions are implementable, what we find good about the solutions, how the solutions might be amended in order to make them more implementable or more effective. And so we're really looking to target that sort of discussion. At the close of the trademark discussion, which will be about mid-afternoon, we'll have a similar session, but much briefer, to discuss malicious conduct. We'll have a different panel with APWG and other representation, RISG, I think, representation, and have that discussion, and time for public comment. And then finally, there'll be a status report on root zone scaling and the economic studies. So I think that's it. I'm just going to transition to the next session now and introduce Nick Wood, who's with the IRT and also managing director of Cum Laude. So I just want to close in thanking everybody in advance for their active participation today. I'm looking forward to the day's events and wish to turn it over, and now we can get to the real work, right?